Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I need help. The day started off completely normal. I woke up, it was a beautiful Sunday, or I thought. I took my dog Theo on a walk around the neighborhood. The neighbors were getting ready for their grill out. The birds were singing, the neighbor's orange cat Pluto was chasing a squirrel. You know, normal neighborhood crap that goes on. We had walked a mile, and on our way back, there was something falling from the sky in the distance. I couldn't make out the shape, it seemed so small and maybe metal. I was in awe of the blue fire that was surrounding it as it came through the atmosphere. Down, down, down it went, soaring at incredible speeds. It went past the tree line, and then it was out of sight. Then it crashed and shook the ground. Simultaneously, my husky froze. He started to growl towards the direction the object fell, and the hairs on his back stood up. I had never heard him growl like this, not even at Pluto. "Hey, Theo, let's go home, buddy," I said softly to him. He stood there. He even started to pull against me to try and go towards where the thing had crashed. "Theo, come on." I tugged on his leash. He just was so focused it weirded me out. It was probably just space garbage falling and crashing. Or at least I thought so. I pulled him with a little more force. He did that cough that dogs do when they strain themselves on their leash. After 2 minutes of coaxing him to follow me, he actually listened. So happy to be going back home, I was humming to myself as we walked towards our house. Something was off. The birds had stopped singing. The neighbors were just gone. Even Pluto seemed to have disappeared. Theo was whimpering. I had an uneasy feeling like I was being watched. I stopped and looked around. It was too quiet. Everything was so silent besides Theo crying and my heartbeat, which started to pump faster. It might have been stupid, but I was scared. I called out into the street. "H, hello." The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. My dog's crying got more desperate, as if to beg me to take us home. I felt myself starting to shake. The deafening silence was making me sick. I knew I was being watched at that point. With a light jog, I cross the empty street and cut through my neighbor's yards to get out of open sight and maybe see someone through a window. As I kept moving, I looked through windows. Nothing. No one. No animals either. Panic was surging through me until I saw someone. It was Miss Sam. She was around 70 and was shriveled with age, although she had always been very sweet. So through the back screen door, I called to her. "Hello, Miss Sam," I called out of breath. She looked at me with much more speed than she should have been able to. She was twitching. I took a step back. Although she was in her tiny kitchen and I was outside, the distance suddenly wasn't enough. "Are you, okay," I managed to speak out. Her head cocked to the right side slightly. Then the most terrifying thing happened. She smiled. Not the friendly little old grandma smile. No. She smiled wider than was possible, even with all that baggy skin. And she smiled even wider yet. Her mouth ripped and dark blood started to slowly ooze down her cheeks, making her look like a mix between Jeff the Killer and an old vampire. "Theo," I realized too late, had been growling towards Miss Sam, which he never did. Miss Sam slowly opened the door and stepped out. Her bad posture she usually had was replaced by a perfect one that made her taller. She was still smiling and twitching as she slowly walked closer. I was frozen with fear. What kind of crap was going on here? Thankfully, I was gripping Theo's leash so tight that my knuckles turned white because he pulled me out of my trance. We ran like our lives depended on it. Our lives probably were depending on it. I looked back and I almost passed out. There in Miss Sam's driveway was Miss Sam, dead. And standing watching me run was the smiling Miss Sam. She was slowly following us like we were in some cheap cliche scary movie. When we were out of sight, I took Theo through an alley and made it to my house after making sure Miss Sam wasn't following us. I unlocked the door with shaky hands and quickly turned the deadbolt. I then shut all the blinds and locked all the windows and the back door. I peeked out the window and people were now wandering the streets. Someone spotted me and began to smile the same smile as Miss Sam. I quickly shut the blind and started to breathe quickly and heavily. Something is so wrong. Theo is running all through the house whimpering. I stupidly look out the window again and they are walking up my driveway. I don't know what to do now. "Please, someone, anyone help me. I'm so scared." As we speak, I can hear them laughing. Oh God, it's such an inhuman laugh. I have a storm cellar a short run from my house to it. I don't know if I could make it. Please help, there isn't much time. It was a sad day when I was told my grandpa had died. For as long as I can remember, I always spent a week of my summer holidays with Grandpa Boris and Grandma Olga, and those days were the best times of my life. My grandpa was a slender and tall man with a thick mustache and always wore odd socks. He had lots of stories to tell while he still lived in Russia. My favorite was how he acquired his prosthetic arm by punching a bear in the snout while Grandma was giving birth to my father in the woods one morning. My grandma was a petite and loving woman who taught me how to cook and bake, mostly down to how I was quite skinny while growing up and it made her worry for me. "Why, you're slowly becoming the best cook I know, Darren," she joked one day. Aside from me, of course. I was taught other things like how to write my name in Russian, how to defend myself by using a scarecrow as a practice dummy, how to tie a knot, etc. The saddest part was having to go home after my grandparents said goodbyes to me and my parents at the train station. At least I was able to bring home a new jumper that Grandma had knitted for me and some things from the war that Grandpa's father once had. It was Grandma who was the first to die. Trauma to the head, I was told, but not much else. I remember Grandpa becoming more reclusive after that, but managing to appear at family Christmas parties. We tried our best to make him be as welcome as we could. My father was still quite wary of Grandpa because he thought that he didn't approve of him marrying an English woman as opposed to a Russian-born woman. I didn't want to inquire any further about it in my mind. It wasn't really my place. One summer, I remember being told by my mother that I wasn't going to see Grandpa that time, and never again, for that matter. My parents didn't know the cause of how he died, but doctors told them it must have been due to an underlying heart condition that went undetected for months or even years. It wrecked my 14-year-old brain really hard. How two of the people I've known since I was little had just gone like that. My mother tried to reassure me that Grandma and Grandpa were reunited in heaven, which gave me some happiness, but it felt like my soul had died with the grandparents I loved so much. At the funeral wake, I stuck to the corners and walls like ivy, while other relatives offered their condolences to me and made small talk. That night, I couldn't sleep a wink for quite a while, but when I finally did, I heard a bang and a scratching at the window that made my eyes snap open immediately. I looked to the window beside my bed and was felt cold all over me. I was looking at the face of a human-looking creature with sunken ice-like eyes, gaunt and shallow cheeks, shriveled lips, and knife-like fingers clawing at the window. I assumed it was a he, was just staring straight ahead, his teeth bared like a wild, rabid animal. My heart sank when he noticed me and smiled, giggling like a maniac. He slowly scraped his knife fingers on the glass of my window, whistling a tune at me. I wanted to scream, but fear wrapped at my throat like a noose, and when I found the courage to rip the blankets off of me, he was gone in a flash. I looked out the window, but in the darkness, I could see nothing. No movement, no sign he had even been there ever. I stayed awake, not wanting to go back to sleep, worried that whatever that was would come back and do God knows what to me. I can't tell you why I didn't tell my parents about it, but thinking back, what would they have done if I had told them? 2 years later, and I was 16 and getting ready for my GC status. My parents told me that they were going out for a friend's birthday that night, so the house was all mine. I saw this as exciting since I have no siblings and my parents trusted me enough to not set the house ablaze. Now I am king of the castle, I loudly proclaimed as my parents made their way to the car when it got close to sunset. I managed to get some homework done and got the idea to call up my girlfriend at the time, Catherine, and watch movies and eat pizza with her. The house was all ours, so why not? No luck there, unfortunately. Apparently she'd come down with the flu. Oh well, more pizza for me, I suppose. It was getting near midnight, the witching hour, but it was going to be a weekend and I could stay up for as long as I want. That's when the front porch's light turned on. It was a motion detection light, and I brushed it off. It was probably just one of the cats in the neighborhood wandering around. The light just kept flickering on and off, and I knew that it wasn't one of the cats. I put down a pizza slice and unlocked the front door to look outside, a stupid decision, all things considered, but I felt safe where I was. Nothing was there. I closed and locked the door and returned to where I was. Before I had time to sit back down, I felt my heart stop. There was a man in the room. He had gray, curly hair and a thick mustache. He was wearing a cream-colored fleece jacket, high-waisted trousers, two different colored socks, and brown loafer shoes. I recognized that one arm looked much weaker than the other one, and I knew this man from anywhere. "Grandpa," I asked. "Hi there, Darren," he greeted. "You've gotten bigger since I last saw you. Have you been eating your veggies?" I tried to string a sentence together, but I didn't know what to ask him. "I thought you died," I tried to stop myself from saying that, but the words were out of my mouth before I could do anything about it. "I did," he confessed, sighing. "It's a horrible thing to go through, both knowing that you've lost someone and losing yourself. So why are you here?" I sat down next to him. "I wanted to tell you something, Darren Kolodoff," he said, and I've never seen him with such a serious expression on his face. "And I want you to listen. You're now old enough now to know the truth." I was confused. What had he come to tell me after 2 years of nothing? He cleared his throat. "I never told you the story of me and your grandma," he began. "When I first met her, I thought she was the most beautiful woman in Russia, no, the world. We got to know each other and I got irresponsible. I conceived your father outside of marriage one night. Our wedding, though rushed, I enjoyed, and Olga looked more radiant than the sun." He smiled at the memory and stared off to the distance. Then his smile faded. "What I didn't know is that her family had ties to criminals. I found this out one day when I was visited by her father and her uncles. Her father got me to my feet and he said, 'Kolodoff, I heard of you were very ambitious to deflower my daughter and expect me to give you a father's blessing.' I say to him, 'Mr. Ilyushin,' I say, 'my intentions are good, and I can be a suitable husband to Olga and a kind father to our unborn child.' One of her uncles says to me, My brother is a generous man, Boris. We agree that, if you think of leaving Russian soil to run, we'll make sure your child disappears in Siberia. What happened then? I ask, shocked. Though I cannot remember exact words, I can remember him telling me that he curses my bloodline, and that he will hunt me and my descendants down if there's a child born on foreign grounds to a foreigner. He looked to his prosthetic arm. Do you remember the story of how I lost this arm? I think it was your favorite. I hesitated, trying to resubmerge the memories. You fought a bear while Grandma was giving birth, weren't you? Grandpa chuckled. That's only half the truth. It wasn't the forest where Olga was giving birth. No, she was at the hospital, and I was sprinting at full speed to get there. On my way, I was attacked by Mr. Fedorov, who was nicknamed the Bear because of his size and how he could rip a man's throat out. He was a close associate to Olga's father and didn't want me seeing my own child. I threw punches and insults at him, and in turn, he sliced my arm off. Don't worry, I did manage to see my child, your father. I named him Vasily after my own grandfather, and I feared for his life every day. I scratched my brain for questions to ask him. But how come you began life over here? Why not stay in Russia? Why not stay in Russia? He repeated. When Olga's father had died, I saw my opportunity to leave with her and Vasily for a new life. I constantly urged for Vasily to be with a woman from Russia, but he ended up with Mary, your mother, and had you. I never told Vasily or Olga about what I was told back then. I regretted it every hour I was awake and every second when I was asleep. He looked at me and smiled. But you became the smartest and brightest grandson a man can ask for. What about Grandma? Is she here too? I almost sounded excited, but Grandpa's frown made me almost regret asking. No, he solemnly replied. She served her time. All she ever wanted to see was her family happy. I have to stay behind because I want to protect you from whatever her father sends your way. Suddenly, I heard the scraping of metal against the walls and giggling. At that moment, I felt like I was 14 again and terrified of those icy eyes. Do you remember those self-defense lessons I taught you? Grandpa asked. Yes, I asked as the scrapes came increasingly close. Why? Use them, he said as he disappeared in a ghostly mist. When that door opened, greeting me was the same figure from 2 years ago. His figure was emaciated, and he was clothed in nothing but tatters and that wicked smile. I didn't hesitate when I threw a punch to his rotting nose, inducing a cracking sound. I fled to the kitchen to find a weapon to defend myself, but he gained on me at record speed, grabbing me and chucking me to the ground. He flipped me over and, using his knife hands, tried to stab my eyes. Using the same tactic, I grabbed the back of his hard head with my fingernails and jammed my thumbs into his eyes, causing him to release his grip. I dashed to the kettle and thwacked him over the head with it, but that didn't stop him. He uttered garbled words that sounded like Russian to me, but before he could slice at my mouth, I could smell iron in the air. The creature started to vomit up blood, and I noticed the enormous hole in his stomach, which made him stumble to the ground. It took me a while to catch my breath as I stared at the creature, and my mind had millions of things going through it at 1,000 miles per hour. I came to my senses and dashed to the phone to call the police. They arrived quickly, alongside my parents, who I also called. My mother rushed towards me, tears ran down her face as she held me tightly. I managed to tell them and the police everything, minus me seeing the ghost of my grandpa. I had to stay at a friend's house while the police had to check everything. The body of my attacker had vanished, and it made me feel all sorts of nausea when investigators told me that they were unable to locate the man I described to them. I don't blame them. The incident made me quite the talk of my school that Monday because it made the local news. I didn't really mind the popularity, it made me feel like some kind of hero. Something I never wrapped my head around was why it suddenly stopped. Was that Grandpa's doing? I always hoped that was the case. That was 5 years ago, and I haven't had any other incident with the strange creature. That was until last night. I started hearing whistling and giggling outside my window at stupid hours of the night, and saw those eyes through the crack of my curtains mocking me. I've grown since that night, and I'm ready to end this. This is for you, Grandpa. I was like 12, and my dad was a lawyer. He had just let go of a case because his client was kind of insane, always interrupting the judge, stuff like that. Anyways, when he let go of the case, the client screamed and yelled, and they had to call the cops on him. I was home alone, and I was scared that the man would come to my house and murder me. While I was sitting there, watching Naruto, scared out of my damn mind, I heard a knock on the door. I hid in my closet. Someone was ringing the doorbell now. Banging and doorbell. I was working up the courage to grab one of my dad's guns and answering the door when the banging stopped. I ran out to see what happened. There was no one at the door. I went outside and looked for anyone who could have been there. No one. Jesus, man, that still haunts me to this day. I am currently at university in the UK and live in a small two-bedroom apartment with a friend of mine. I've been here for about a year now. Every time I'm in this house alone, I feel as if I am being watched. And it's not just a little feeling. I literally run from one part of the place to my room when I turn off the light. It's not like anything is being malicious or anything, but it's just the constant feeling and looking over my shoulder that I am starting to struggle with. Sometimes I wake up to a loud voice in my ear, but I just put that down to my imagination as it's always close to when my alarm will go off. It's not constant noise or interference or anything. It's one real loud shout, as if I was shouting as loud as I could right in my ear. Sometimes I can remember specific words I heard in some of the times I've woken to a shout, mostly things like wake up or get up, but I always put it down to my imagination. It's been happening more often as of late, maybe because I've been alone here all summer, I don't know. I constantly hear walking around on the floor above two-floor apartment when I am in my room. I usually put this down to guests from upstairs as I can always hear them walking when I am on my second floor, but then I seem to also hear walking when I'm in my room in the part of the house below street level. It's a pretty old house, I think, but I'm not entirely sure about its history. I could really use any ideas you guys have or any advice. Much of the time, I just try to tell myself it's just the house settling when it's real quiet and I hear things at night, but the walking is so clear on the floor above mine that I am starting to find it hard to tell myself that it is just the house. The feeling is always much more intense when I am alone in the house, but I still get it just hanging around when my flatmate is there. He says he gets it occasionally, but not so bad, so I don't know if it's just me or if there is something spooky afoot. This story happened when I was 17 years old. I was by myself at home while my parents went on a trip to Toronto outside the US. We had lived there for 3 years when I was a kid, so my parents were visiting friends we had made during that time. My older brother was out of state in college at the time, so I was alone for the whole week. It was a Friday night, and one of my friends was supposed to stay over to keep me company for the weekend. Sadly, something came up, and he had to go back home for the night, leaving me alone at home. I wasn't worried or nervous because I had been staying home alone since I was 12 years old, and as I got older, I had spent quite a few nights on my own. I am not sure. But I think my friend left around 10 o'clock that night. So I sent a message to my mom telling her he had to go and that I would be alone for the night. She said it was okay, but to be careful and set the alarm. So I got ready for bed and decided to sleep in my parents' room because they had a big TV there with lots of shows, which I didn't have in my room. I turned on the house alarm, got into bed, and started searching for a movie on TV. My dog was on the bed with me, so I knew she couldn't have caused what happened next. About an hour later, while I was changing channels, the house alarm suddenly went off. I quickly looked at the alarm unit by the bedroom door and saw the red light flashing on and off. I froze as there was a loud beeping that kept happening over and over. I think it took me about 15 seconds just to understand what was going on. Did the alarm go off on its own? I wondered. It can't be a door opening. I started thinking about everyone I knew who might have a key to open one of the doors in my house. All the doors were locked, and I knew my brother wasn't coming back for the weekend. I knew it wasn't my friend who had just left.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Because I got a text from him saying he was home. I thought about all my friends, and each one of them was either out of town or busy. I was sure none of my neighbors had opened any doors either. All of this went through my mind in those 15 seconds when I couldn't move on the bed. Finally, I got back to reality and hurried to my parents' bedroom door. I closed it and then locked it. I didn't turn off the alarm because I knew it would call the police after 1 minute of beeping. Plus, I thought the loud alarm might scare away whoever broke in. Once the door was locked, I went to my mom's bedside table and took out a revolver she kept there just in case of emergencies like this one. Now, I'm only around 5'4" tall, and I knew that if someone came through that door with bad intentions, they could easily overpower me. I got the gun, checked that it was loaded, and turned off the safety. I held the gun up and aimed it at the door, but I kept my finger away from the trigger like you're supposed to do until you're certain you need to shoot. It was hard to believe that I had a gun and was aiming it at something, maybe someone if they were dangerous. I sat there, getting myself ready if someone came through the door. I never thought I'd have to do something like this. I stayed calm and didn't let my feelings of fear take over. I knew I had to stay quiet and think clearly just in case something actually happened. I was kneeling on the floor like that for what felt like a really long time, but I think only about 2 minutes actually passed. The alarm was still making noise, so I thought I should call 911 just in case the alarm system was broken and didn't call the police. I dialed 911, told them everything that was happening, and they sent 2 police officers to help. The person on the phone stayed with me until the cops arrived. They checked around the outside of my house before knocking on the front door. I turned off the alarm and put the gun away. I opened the front door and talked to the officers. They said they didn't find any signs that someone had broken in from the outside of the house. They asked me some questions about what went on, and I told them everything. They also asked if I wanted to search inside the house just to make sure nobody had broken in and hidden somewhere. Now, thinking about it, my answer was really silly. I said no, I think it's fine now. The police said they would stick around the area and told me to call them if anything else happened. I walked them to the door and locked it after they left. I went back to my parents' room. I checked on my dog to make sure she wasn't scared by all that happened. She's a small cocker spaniel, not really a guard dog type. Then I finally called my parents and explained what had happened. My mom is always really calm, so she didn't get scared. I think I'm similar to her in staying calm, but my dad, though, was definitely worried about me as his young daughter being home alone. They asked if I was okay and if they should come back early. I said there was no need for that, and I was sure nothing like that would happen again because the alarm likely scared anyone away. After talking to my parents, I realized I hadn't turned the alarm back on, so I went to the alarm system, put in the code, and set it. But nothing happened when I tried to turn it on again, so I felt confused at first. Then, I understood that the alarm only works when every door in the house is closed all the way. I felt really bad and said, "Oh no," out loud. I realized I had to check the house to find out which door had been opened and triggered the alarm. That's when I realized how wrong I was to say no when the police asked if I wanted them to search inside the house. I went back to my mom's bedside table and took the gun again, getting ready for the worst. I walked to every door on the lower level of my house, holding the gun with both hands. Then I reached the hallway where the door to our garage was. Right there, I saw that the door to the garage was wide open. I got chills, thinking that someone had actually tried to break in and had succeeded. Our garage had two windows on the ground level, so it wasn't too strange to think that someone could come in through there. I turned on the garage light and held the gun in front of me. I looked at the two windows in the garage, and it seemed like they weren't open quickly. I closed and locked the garage door, and then tried to turn the alarm on again. This time it worked. After that, I went through the whole house with the gun, checking to see if anyone was hiding anywhere. I prayed the whole time, hoping I wouldn't find anyone and wouldn't need to use the gun. Luckily, I didn't find anything or anyone. After that, I slept with my parents' bedroom door locked and kept the revolver under my pillow for the rest of the week. When my parents came back from their trip, my dad checked the garage windows to see if they were forced open or something. Just like I thought, there was no sign of someone forcing their way in. My parents guessed that the garage door wasn't closed tightly, and a strong wind from outside pushed it open, setting off the alarm. We never really found out for sure what really happened that night. Since then, I have had one more experience with a possible break-in when I was in college, and I came home for the weekend. That story wasn't as scary, but I was alone again, and my parents were away visiting friends in Canada, just like the first time. Now I'm 23 years old, and it's been 6 years since that night. Whatever really happened, it's still the scariest night of my life. I can't even imagine what might have occurred if we didn't have the alarm system and my mom's gun to make me feel safer. Even though nothing bad actually happened, I want to tell everyone who hears this to make sure your home has an alarm and always, always keep a gun at home to protect yourself. The second house I lived in, which was the longest place I've lived in my life, was full of stories. Upstairs, I think there was a former owner who didn't know they were dead, and they'd walk around if you were the only person home. In the office, which is a room my dad moved the doorway to, maybe they couldn't access it anymore because of that. The basement had its own set of stories, and I think something else was down there. But my main story is from when I worked at a summer camp. There were a lot of typical urban legends associated with a camp, and one of them was actually true. Years before, convicts escaped from their transport and ended up hiding at the camp for a while before being found eventually. I wasn't there for that, but as urban legendy as it sounds, it was real. No kids were harmed. The convicts were mostly hiding in the lowest ground of the area, which was marshy but would be seen at night walking around sometimes, probably to get food from the cafeteria. When I was there, there was a car accident nearby, and apparently, some guy walked around the camp with a head injury, and another person was also walking around looking for him. I said, "What's up?" Not thinking anything of it, as it wasn't crazy unusual to have a random Newgrounds guy, and he looked the part. If the camp wasn't so rural, I'd say that's not that crazy, but it's in the middle of nowhere, and the odds of the accident happening right there are something in itself. So the camp was one giant hill, give or take, with random flat areas until you got to the bottom above the marsh, which was a very large flat area. The oldest boys lived in what was called the hill, which was most of the way up. The girls actually lived above that, and then there were the upper fields and tennis courts, and a small lake. The lake is the origin of many of the weirdest stories of the camp, like ones that people had personally witnessed. Above those, although at this point the hills were no longer substantial, were the bunks for counselors that didn't stay with the kids, including my cousin who was there as a senior tennis instructor. I had to get something from my car, which was a walk across the top fields instead of getting too close to the girls' bunks at night, and past the counselor bunks to the lot. I forget his name now, but one of the kids walked with me, so I was carrying whatever I got, and we both noticed a number of white glowing figures, kinda like the men you see on the men's room sign, somewhat featureless, far less than what we'd imagine as the Grey's figures of aliens, but they were all spaced out across the field and looked to be walking in our direction. He and I looked at each other and took off running all the way to the end of the field before looking back, and they were still there, slowly moving. We kinda jogged the rest of the way back to the bunks and confirmed that we both saw it and didn't know what else to do. We went back up a few minutes later with more people, and it was gone. Honestly, it's been so many years. My nature would be to say I must have imagined it, and if I saw it solo at this point, I'd probably have disregarded it. But I clearly remember discussing with him afterward that we both saw the same thing. I was alone for 3 days at home. I usually close all my door when I'm about to sleep, and when I went to sleep around 2330, exactly at midnight, my bedroom door slowly opened up. I thought it was wind or something, but it gradually opened almost halfway. I was shocked to not understand what was happening. I did give some calls, "Who's there?" But when I was about to get up, the door was swiftly shut, seemingly unnatural. I checked my whole house, but couldn't find any trace. Did not sleep for the entire night. It was clear as day. Never happened again. Happened once and never again. Just one of those things. It was in my ex's room. He had to stay working late and put in extra hours, so he picked me up and dropped me off at his place until he came from work. His job is closest to his place, and I was waiting alone till he came back. Pretty usual, TV on and his dog by me in bed keeping me company. Relaxing. Chilling. Nothing out of the ordinary ever happens. Been at his place for years, and nothing like this ever happened. All of a sudden, I heard the bedroom door, which was locked, move, as if somebody very gently touched it and twisted it, but then changed their mind. This was already suo, not typical, and just this alone creeped me out because I knew how heavy that door was and how secure the lock was. I paused for a minute, because I knew what I just heard. It couldn't be him because I didn't hear the original door of the house first. I froze then, immediately jumped and opened the door. I was so creeped out to see no one was there. I thought it might be him trying to scare me because he was a prankster kind, but then thought impossible because the original door makes the loudest noise ever. Old house. Anyway, I don't know how I was so brave to just open it point blank, but it was so loud I had to see what it was. I couldn't just ignore that. Nothing there, I'm dumbfounded. I just stare at the empty hallway and scratch my head. I go back in the bed, continue watching TV. I'm still a little shook, but I try to ignore it until he comes back. When all of a sudden I see this gigantic dark figure, a human figure, probably about a professional basketball player's height and very wide. Like imagine a dark silhouette of a giant human, walking. Scariest moment in my life. I'm trembling just recounting the experience. It's been a while. X and I broke up 3 years ago. But anyway, the craziest and most scariest part to me was how I saw in a well-lit room. And you won't believe what I'm about to say next, it didn't come in from the door. It showed itself exiting the door, as if it was already in there, and it walked by the bed, by the TV all the way to get to the door to leave. So my spirit theory is when the door rattled, it had come in, but it didn't show itself yet. Then as it left, suddenly I was able to see it. A lot of weird negative things were happening that particular month. I saw this entity. Things that usually never happen, like my friend's huge fish tank fishes, all died in one day. X got beat up by 3 different people grouped up on him, all things I never thought would happen to close people of mine, and were highly unusual. Weird thing is he came home, and I never told him. He's not a believer of that, plus I was still in shock and denial the entire night. But I know what I saw. I almost thought if I told him it would make it even more real. Recounting this gives me the creeps even years later. He ended up moving out of that place a little while before Wensiper did, and I think he's in a much better place after doing so. He was happier, lighter, and got so much more done. I think that house had silent but dark energy around, I live in a historic district of Western New York. House built early 1800s. Previously a funeral home for the surrounding area. I was sleeping on the couch in the living room because my parents were alcoholics and had horrible fights upstairs where my bedroom was, and my brother was in the Navy at the time, so he couldn't help. Laying on the couch playing GameCube, I heard classic country music from the basement, while my parents were upstairs not arguing at that time. By classic country, I mean country music that sounded like it came from the inception of country music. Old music. So I walked to the heating vent that used to be connected the heater in the basement, but was now just a hole covered by a metal vent where you could look into the basement from the first floor. I heard the music playing and water running from the laundry sink downstairs. I laid on the couch until I could not hear the music anymore because I was terrified. The whole situation lasted about 20-25 minutes. Alright, so I lived in a haunted house from when I was about 6 till I was 8. My mom would lie to us about it not being haunted, but my brother and I saw the ghost once. Anyways, it was daytime, and I have a dog. She's a bigger American bulldog. My mom took my brother and his friend to his friend's house. They were at our house. So, like 2 minutes after my mom leaves, the floor creaking starts. It sounds like a human being is walking across the hallway. My dog runs up and starts barking at the wall. She's going nuts now. I get up because I'm scared. I'm female, 8 years old, and go over to my dog who's barking at the wall. I grab her by her collar to pull her back, but she won't budge. Then the floor starts creaking, and my dog starts to run. It looks like she's running after something. I grab her leash to take her out, but she is in the kitchen. I run to the kitchen, and pots and stuff fly out of the cupboards. I finally get my dog and wait outside till my mom gets home. I was home alone one evening watching TV. Both my dogs and the cat were sleeping off full tummies. All of a sudden, both dogs jump awake and run over to the front door, look up vaguely in the area of the foyer ceiling light, and bark their brains out for 3 solid minutes. Even the cat, who usually ignores the dogs, goes over and intently stares at the same spot. I am yelling at them to stop, to come, to sit, to shut the F up, but they just keep staring and barking. Like a light switch, they stop barking, and in the same instant, the cat also just turns and walks away. The puppies both go back to their beds and are back asleep in seconds. Had never done that before, haven't done it since. What the actual F? I got 2 stories. Disclaimer that I wasn't home alone, but was alone in the events. Story 1. As a teenager, I randomly woke up one night around 4 in the morning and was instantly wide awake. Something physically felt very off. I felt with conviction that someone was in the room watching me, and I couldn't shake it. I peered in the darkness very intensely, trying to find something that would explain this feeling. I couldn't find anything. I was feeling a bit freaked, and I was convinced there was a reason for this feeling, so I got up and turned the light on. As I'm suspiciously looking around my now well-lit room, the fire alarm in my room suddenly started blaring. Shortly after, my parents rushed to my room after being woken up by the loud alarm. We all 3 looked around my room to see what could have triggered it. There was no smoke, much less a fire. My room was upstairs, and the only gas lines would have been to the water heater in the garage, so that couldn't have been it either. We couldn't find anything, and no alarm went off after that. What's weirder was the relief I felt after the initial shock of the alarm, because that feeling went away, and I wasn't alone with it anymore. I know it sounds dumb, but it felt like a force of good triggered the alarm to scare away whatever the source of the feeling was. To this day, it feels supernatural when I think about it. Story 2. This one is more strange than it is scary, but I still think about it every now and then 10 years later. When I lived in that same house, some of the upstairs floorboards would creak as you walked on them. As a result, I easily knew when someone was in the area around my door. One night, also around 4 a.m., I was playing COD with my friends online, and I heard the boards outside my door creak. Not unusual. It was somewhat common for my mom and sister to be up that late since they both dealt with insomnia. I didn't think anything of it. Shortly after, I heard my mom call my name. I took my headphones off to listen and see if she wanted to talk to me enough that she'd call a second time. I ended up hearing her call my name again from outside my bedroom by the bathroom. I responded, asking, "Yeah," and assumed she wanted me to come out to the hallway for something. I reluctantly told my friends I'll be right back to see what my mom wanted. Probably to clean up something I left out, I thought. I opened the door and was shocked to see nobody was there. All the lights in the house were off, and it seemed like everyone was sound asleep. I went and knocked on my parents' door to make sure she wasn't calling me from the bedroom. Sure enough, she and my dad were long asleep. It was a strange experience. A couple of years ago, I moved out of the apartment I shared with roommates and into a studio to live by myself. It was a nice little place with the bed facing the front door. I had a neighbor, super nice guy who would drink a lot with friends, come home and knock on my door to keep the party going. It was the height of the pandemic lockdown at the time, so all we really did was drink at our building entrance. He was a bigger dude, about 6'2", heavier set. One night, I was starting to fall asleep. I was exhausted that day when suddenly the doorknob shook and the front door swung open. I saw a dark silhouette at the door with the hallway light surrounding him. The man at the door quickly moved towards me. In my sleepy haze, I thought it was my neighbor wanting to invite me out. But then I realized the figure was much thinner than my neighbor. It stood at the foot of my bed, grabbed my ankle, and started shaking me. I couldn't move. But I mustered all my strength, kicked at him, and yelled, "Get the F off of me." I woke myself up by yelling and realized there was no one there. The door was closed and the apartment was empty. I took a minute to make sure it was locked, put on a TV show to distract myself, and tried to fall back asleep. I realized later it was sleep paralysis first and only time it's happened, but damn, that shit was scary. I can still imagine what the hand gripping my ankle feels like. This is not as supernatural as everyone else's, but it did scare the pee out of me. One early morning at about 2 a.m., my husband and I woke up to our house shaking and what sounded like a tornado. The whooshing was so loud. My son, 8 at the time, also woke up. The whooshing, rumbling sound got even louder, and we three ran downstairs. I swear on all that's holy, I thought we were under attack by a foreign nation or be under attack by aliens. When we got outside, there was nothing in the sky, but you could feel the vibrations in the air as they disappeared. My husband was standing there shocked. My son was sobbing so much and staring at the sky. I thought he was going to faint, and I looked at my hands to find them shaking. I've never seen my hands shake. Yet, not one neighbor on our crowded cul-de-sac was outside with us. I couldn't believe it. The next day, I asked my neighbors about it, but none of them heard anything. I checked the news, and it seems there was some disturbance heard by a few people on my side of town. But the closest Air Force Base, San Antonio, lots of bases denied any early morning exercises. It remains a mystery. To this day, I always wonder if some alien craft got a little too close and was like, "Pull up, pull up, you're buzzing a human neighborhood." Crap, that was close. Bet there will be a few humans freaking out for the next few hours. This would be followed by alien laughter.